What if you could learn more about your health in under an hour? The Pronuvo Whole Body Scan gives you a comprehensive look at your health, screening for over 500 conditions, including many solid tumors as early as stage one. High-quality imaging, no radiation, no contrast. Book your scan today at Pronuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com. Gain clarity, confidence, and peace of mind with Pronuvo. Invest in your health today. Visit Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable. This episode of the Sportsman's Empire is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. Since 1952, Interstate Batteries has been evoking compassion and a trustworthy spirit into the surrounding communities. Interstate Batteries is a mission-driven company fueled by purpose and guided by their values. If you need help locating a specific battery, stop into your local Interstate Batteries retail store and speak with a battery specialist. They even offer cell phone repairs. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
Where's your playlist taking you? Down the highway? To the mountains? Or just into daydream mode while you're stuck in traffic? With over 4,000 hotels worldwide, Best Western is there to help you make the most of your getaway. Wherever that is. Because the only thing better than a great playlist is a great trip. Life's the trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Book direct and save at bestwestern.com.
This episode is brought to you by Peloton. Break through the busiest time of year with the brand new Peloton Cross Training Tread Plus. Powered by Peloton IQ. With real-time guidance and endless ways to move, you can personalize your workouts and train with confidence, helping you reach your goals in less time. Let yourself run, lift, sculpt, push, and go. Explore the new Peloton Cross Training Tread Plus at onepeloton.com.
Dripping in gold? That's cool. Dripping in Velveeta's supremely creamy golden cheesiness? That's respect. Elevate your drip with Velveeta's range of outrageously delicious dips and dishes. Shells, cheese, melty blocks, and heat and eat queso that go all in on indulgence. Flex on your fam with a creamy, cheesy masterpiece and go all in on what you love with Velveeta. Respect the drip and satisfy your cravings. Bring home the drip with Velveeta.
Mic check, 1, 2, adjust the level. Here we go. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of the Hunting Gear Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Johnson, and today we are joined by Pierce Nellis from the Wisconsin Sportsman Podcast. Now, from the sounds of it, me and him hunt very similar, right? We talk a little bit about how we hunt, where we hunt. You know, we're both from the Midwest. And so, but don't get discouraged just because you're not from the Midwest. Maybe you're from the South, or maybe you're from, you know, like more mountainous, heavier terrain, more big timber, or even out west a little bit as far as whitetails are concerned. Today's topic is all about tree stands, right? And we cover a variety of different tree stands that we would recommend or that we have used. We talk about everything from climbers to ladder stands to hang-ons, steps and sticks, and, as well as saddles. And we talk about price point. We talk about mobility. We talk about different types of scenarios. And what I mean by that is, a lone wolf. See, I grew up on a lone wolf assault and 4 lone wolf sticks. I'm now still using some of those lone wolf sticks, but now I'm kind of in a hybrid method where sometimes I use tree stands, but a lot of times I'm in a saddle still. So whether I use a platform or I use a tree stand depends on the scenario. And there are a lot of different scenarios out there, including for me, now that I have kids and I want to get kids involved in that, that it's going to be ladder stand time again for me, right? I don't think I've hunted a ladder stand for probably over 15 years, probably. And maybe even longer than that, probably close to 20. That's ever since I bought my first lone wolf assault and sticks. I really haven't hunted any ladder stands since then. But what I'm getting at is now ladder stands, perfect for kids, maybe perfect for bigger dudes, maybe perfect for people who are getting older and less mobile. And so now we talk about all of those things today. So it's this conversation revolves around tree stands, and that's the title of this episode. So and that's what we're talking about today. It's a good conversation to have right before the season starts. Maybe you need to pick up some more gear, some tree stands. Maybe you're fine with what you have. Maybe you need to do some adjustments, but either way, that's the topic today. But before we get into today's episode, we do have to have a quick shout out to all of the sponsors of today's episode. And first and foremost, if you are able to run feeders in the state that you hunt, whether it's during the season or before or after the season, you got to go check out Feed Hub. Now, the Feed Hub is a pod, or it's, what is it? I'm sorry. Feed Hub. It's a device that actually connects to a SpinCast feeder and allows you to monitor not only your feed levels, but it also allows you to schedule feeding times remotely through your phone. It runs off the same technology as a cell camera. And so it's pretty neat, man. It's pretty cool. If you want to find out more about the Feed Hub, go to MoultrieMobile.com and take a look at the Feed Hub. Next on the list is the Reveal trail camera. Man, since I've started using them, I'm getting very good results. The trigger speed seems to be, right up there with all of the other trail cameras. It's very affordable. The setup time on this cell cam is ridiculously easy, and I'm not joking when I say you open the package, you download the Reveal app, and then you scan a QR code, and your camera is set up. It's literally that easy. And so go to tacticam.com/cameras and check out all of the new 3.0 versions of the Reveal, and buy one and then set it up, and you can match it with your Feed Hub, or you can match it with the next product that I'm really looking forward to this year, and that is Code Blue Sense. Right? Code Blue Sense offers a variety of real and synthetic deer urines, and my favorite product, the Rope-A-Dope Scrape Kit. And I do have a discount code for Code Blue Sense, and that is NFC20, and that gets you 20% off. Go visit CodeBlueSense.com, and that's it. Code Blue Sense, Feed Hub, Reveal, Trail Cameras by Tacticam. Huge shout out to those companies. Thank you very much for supporting us, and please go check out their websites, man. That's all I can ask. All right, let's get into today's topic. It's all about tree stands. Hopefully you enjoy. All right, everybody, welcome to another episode of the Hunting Gear Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Johnson, and today we are joined by the host of the Wisconsin Sportsman, Mr. Pierce Nellis. Pierce, what's up, man?
Not much, dude. Like we were saying, it's every time we hop on the line together, it's coming up, creeping on 100, so I'm sweating, but doing great.
Yeah, it blows my mind. I knew this was going to happen, too.
Mm-hmm.
August was, a pretty gorgeous month. Probably even better up there for you in Wisconsin, where the temperatures, they weren't overwhelming. There was not a ton of humidity. And now it's the last week of August going into September, and it's just brutal out right now. And so every time it gets to this temperature, I'm always thinking, like, the deer had it easy this summer. They had good water this summer, fairly cool temperatures, and now it's just like a sauna out there.
Yep. Yeah, dude. Well, like you said, we were talking offline just before we hopped on here. You know, you said your boy's starting football here, and it's always got to be the first week of football camp that it creeps into 100. So,
oh, dude.
It's fitting.
Yeah.
But hopefully September's a little nicer.
Well, who knows? My gut tells me September's going to suck. And I don't know why, but my gut tells me we're going to have an Indian summer, and it's going to be warm, an Indian summer this fall. Mm-hmm. I think that's what you call it, right?
Yeah,
September and October are fairly warm. For some reason, my gut tells me that. And a cold front that everybody's looking forward to in October is going to be like from 80 to 70 cold front type of deal. So I don't know. We'll see.
As long as it's not like November of, 2022, when it was like 70-some degrees the whole week of November. That was tough.
I'll tell you this, man. There was, I forget what year it was. I want to say like 2015 maybe or something like that. I had one of the biggest 8-point, typical, like clean 8-pointers I've ever seen walk by my stand at 80 degrees at 4 o'clock on November like 4th or 5th, and it was hot as shit, but he was on his feet cruising at like I want to say like 3:30, 4 o'clock, something like that. And it was in a really big pinch point, but I was sweating. I can just remember I was just wearing a t-shirt and I set up my tree stand. I was running gun, just drenched by the time I got up in there, and he showed up, but then he busted me. So that's the end of that story.
Yeah. Well, as I was saying that, I was like, I guess I shouldn't complain because I did kill a buck on like a 74 degree day. So I'm not going to, if that happens again, I'd take it. But dude, it does not make for a fun setup at all, especially if you're trying to be sneaky or trying to have any sort of scent control whatsoever once you start steaming.
That's a fact. What's, Wisconsin has a September 15th opener, right? Or somewhere around
there? Yes, sir. Yep.
Okay. Do you ever go out for the opener?
I have for the past handful of years. I usually like to do it out at the home farm in kind of south central Wisconsin. I've got a little 5-acre family piece that's got way too many deer to, be sustainable. But usually I go out there, try and smack a doe opening weekend, and then kind of take the pressure off myself to have meat in the freezer for the rest of the fall to focus on bucks.
Yeah, I like that. Actually, I was cruising through Facebook Marketplace this morning, and some lady, she's local, and she buys these pallets, like unseen. She buys pallets of overstocked goods or damaged goods or things that were found in a storage container or something like that. And she bought it for X number of dollars, and then she resells the items individually. And anyway, there's like it just has a big dent in it, but it still functions, right? There's a deep freeze for sale for like $90. And so I'm thinking about buying another deep freeze so that way I can put more meat in the literal freezer this year. And so I've kind of fallen away from shooting does recently over the last handful of years. And I want to start shooting more deer.
Dude, it's so much fun.
Yeah.
Like, I was just about to ask, how many do you normally just try and get your archery buck? And then do you do any of the shotgun or muzzleloader seasons in Iowa as well?
Well, no, I don't. Well, muzzleloader I'm going to start doing. Okay, I bought a muzzleloader last year, and then things got weird, and I didn't get the opportunity to go do it. However, this year, I want to do it again. And so, but here's my thing. I travel out of state to hunt. So the year that I shot a buck in South Dakota, and then I shot a buck in my Iowa buck, well, I had a ton of meat in my freezer that year. Okay. And then I always buy a half or a quarter cow, side of beef. And so there's certain times a year where my deep freeze is full, and especially if I shoot two deer. But I want to shoot more this year because we go through a lot of ground meat. And I also, whenever I get a deer, because my family, my wife isn't huge fan of just straight venison, ground venison in spaghetti or ground venison for like, I love it, but my wife doesn't. So I always cut it with like 25% or 50% beef.
Right.
Right. So I make that last longer. So anyway, what I'm getting at is, I think that, and that fills it up. So that's why I want to take that next step and maybe buy another deep freeze for the garage.
Totally. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's, I don't know, dude, there's something about smacking a dough first thing. At least if I do that, if I don't have a buck that I'm on at that, you know, to go after opening morning. But I also, you know, like I said, usually I do it for just the tradition, if anything, to hunt out at the home farm, you know, at least once, get a deer out there, and then go run around the rest of the season if need be. But dude, there's something about getting that first arrow in a deer just to knock the rust off and like get the whole system down and everything and get some meat out of it that I've definitely come to love. It's like, if it goes well, it's a huge confidence booster. If you make a iffy shot, it's it'll get in your head for the rest of your fall. But
so it's good if you smoke them, but it's bad if you gut punch them and you don't ever find them. So
exactly, yeah, exactly. Luckily, that hasn't happened for a few years. But
yeah. All right, we got to talk about tree stands today.
All right, we can do that.
So I dropped off some arrows to be built and fletched at my local Shields. I think they have Shields up in Wisconsin, right?
Yep. Yeah. I think it's only up in Appleton.
Okay. So anyway, I dropped some arrows off, and I'm sitting there, and I'm looking at all the tree stands. And it kind of made me think, like, 15 years ago, there wasn't very many run-and-gun type options to choose from. And this was before, back then there was a saddle hunting phase that faded away, and now the saddle hunting phase is back in, but I don't think it's going away this time. But with that said, back, you know, 10, 15 years ago, when I was, you know, just getting into bow hunting, you only really had the Lone Wolf, right? The Lone Wolf, and that's where I started. Was Lone Wolf Assault, or you're sitting in a hang-on tree stand that could not be adjusted in a tree stand, right? Or the tree had to be straight, or you were running in a climber, and that meant that you either had to have trees pre-trimmed, or you were trimming on the way up, or you were just sitting lower to the ground in a climber, or you were in some kind of a ladder stand.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I look at that and I go, man, options. There wasn't a ton of options for Crooked Trees or the mobile guy, but there was plenty of options for the ladder stand guy and things like that. And so I can remember a store called Farm King. I don't know if they have those in Wisconsin, but here in Iowa they have something called Farm King. And I can remember going and buying like 3 ladder stands for $65 a pop back when I first started hunting. And basically they were like Legos. You put them together, take a ratchet strap it to the tree, and you're good to go. They're pretty flimsy, but they're made out of stainless steel, and I can still use them today if I wanted to. They're in a pile at my mom's house. But anyway, it kind of got me thinking of all of the options that are available these days, and I'd like to talk a little bit about that. But when you first started hunting, like, what was your tree stand climbing method setup?
Man, when I first started hunting, my tree stand was a flipped over 5-gallon bucket.
Yeah.
But luckily that didn't last too long, but I do remember those days very well. But you know, my dad kind of got into hunting around the same time that I did. And so we kind of learned about it together, but it wasn't until I was, you know, maybe 2 or 3 years into my hunting career that we actually ended up getting a little 15-foot ladder stand for our place. And so we started with that. That sucker is still hanging up there today. After that, I realized, like, well, the deer figured out that I was in this ladder stand, so I need something that I can jump around. It'd be cool if I could get, you know, somewhere else. And so I begged and pleaded for my mom to go on the Dick's Sporting Goods website and ordered me this climber that I think it was a Summit, or I don't even know if it was a Summit. I think it was some other just random brand, but ordered this climber, and, you know, all the money that I'd been saving up that summer and everything, you know, gave to exchange it. And so I've hunted out of that for, honestly, every year since. Probably it's been close to 10 years. I use it at least once or twice a year. And the one thing I will say that thing's awesome for is we've got a bunch of, like, just telephone pole walnut trees in this hardwoods that we've got. And so, dude, there are times where I'll shoot that thing up like 30-some feet and just be invincible with my thermals. Yeah. Other times, you know, I mean, you move a muscle up at that height, you're screwed, especially late season. But did that for a number of years. And then back in 2021, pieced together a saddle kit, did that. And then this year I'm switching to the XOP retrograde, kind of running a hybrid setup this year.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, I'll tell you what, I think back in the day, aside from the Lone Wolf climber, I want to say that one of the most popular climbing tree stands was a Summit.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure, like, I'm it's funny now, because I'm actually on the summitstands.com, their website, and I'm looking at everything, or at their climbers. And I look at that now, and I go, 0% chance I ever use anything like that.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like, there's a 0% chance. So let me, and I don't want to stereotype people here, but I'm looking at a climber. Let's talk. This is a perfect place to start. Climbing tree stand. Who is the demographic for a climbing tree stand, in your opinion, your thoughts?
My initial reaction is, like, folks down south who are hunting in, you know, areas that, you know, they have those telephone pole type trees, stuff
pine
like
stands,
that.
Yep, pine things stand. Like that. Yeah,
exactly. Yep. Yeah, that's where my mind goes off the bat.
Yeah.
Other than that, you know, I'd say, like, probably private land farmer who wants just something in the back pocket, but even that I think is a stretch. I think I'd have to say the southern
guy.
Pine plantation guys, yeah.
Like, I even want to go into, like, weight and athletic ability too, right? So, like, and I don't want to, like, if you're like, I'll just be being honest for people who listen to this, like, a mobile hunter is not going to be some guy who's like 6 foot tall, 350 pounds. You know what I mean? Like, you're looking at something, and I'm sure there's people like that, but if you're a big dog, and when I mean big I mean weight wise I don't see big dudes using climbing tree stands, if that makes sense.
No.
There's probably dudes out there that do it, and they're gonna correct me, but I just look at I look at someone who's in decent shape but who's older, who is using a climbing tree stand, maybe in the South or in an area where, like, the Appalachians, East Coast, where there's a lot of straight up and down trees, pine stands, trees that don't have a lot of short branches coming out of the trunk lower to the ground.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 100%. Yeah, I didn't even think about that in terms of, you know, because that was, I mean, for that generation of hunters too, that was kind of their mobile hunting equipment. You know what I mean? Like, they saw, you know, mobile tree stand or whatever, the first thing that came to mind is a climber, probably. And on top of it, yeah, there's that added safety feature as well. But the thing too that I've noticed is, you know, especially running around public, I've found people's climbers out there just, like, you know, on the trees still.
Yep.
They're a pain in the ass to get around with.
Absolutely.
For most of them. You know what I mean? The majority of them are. So I would say, you know, probably older folks who, you know, they want something that they can, it's easier to tear down than a ladder stand, but it's not necessarily, it doesn't have to be completely mobile. They can still strap that thing to the same tree and run up and down the entire season.
Yeah. And so that tells you right there, if you're not taking it in and out of the woods with you every single time, and you're just going to leave it at the bottom of the tree, maybe there's instances where you're leaving it there and you're going to come back the next day and hunt it. But if you're leaving it there and then you're waiting 4 or 5 days to come back to it, you know, that's obviously a huge risk on public. Mm-hmm. But even on private, it tells you right there that there's probably a better option for you. That's the way I look at it anyway.
100%. And especially just, I mean, prices of everything right now are still, I mean, they're absurd right now. But you can get a double set, or like, you know, a double seater ladder stand for probably cheaper than you would any climber on the market, I would say. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's, at that point, I almost wonder if you're not better off just getting a couple of lower end ladder stands in lieu of doing that, and then just being able to set those things up perfect. But
I don't know. And a lot of it depends on where you're hunting, right? That's great for private, but I don't know about the rule in Wisconsin, but in Wisconsin, can you leave your tree stands on public ground all year round?
No.
What's the rule?
I think you got to take them in with you and take them out, you know, when you leave.
So
there's a couple spots too that like you can, it's not like, so DNR land, that's the law.
Yeah.
On other like conservancy properties, they might have their own regulations where you have to, I know one of them that I hunt, you have to, you can put a ladder stand up, you have to have your, you know, all your, like your DNR info, your name and contact info and stuff like strapped to your stand, like at the bottom of it on the ladder basically. And it's got to be out of there by the end of the season. So there's like semi-permanent stuff. That's kind of where my mind goes with climbers and everything too, is like, it's almost a semi-permanent type of a stand. In my opinion, just because it is, you know, I mean, now don't get me wrong, the new Lone Wolf climber is nuts. Like, you could strap that thing to your back and it would be, you know, a total piece of cake to run around with, I think. I mean, I think I was looking at them this weekend. I think they stack like an inch or an inch and a half thick with, you know, an entire climber. I don't know what the weight is on that, but I think it's like right around that 10 pound mark, if not less. So, I mean, there's, you know, obviously, if you're willing to go to that market, there's a premium option for you if you are a mobile hunter, but you still want the climber. And I talked to guys, you know, I was at the, they did their mobile hunter road show out in Bellevue this past week, and I was talking to guys who hunt out of the climbers out there, and I mean, they absolutely love them. So
I
don't think we can box climbing stand hunters into being like semi-permanent, you know, guys are lazy or anything like that, because, not like anything, there's nuance.
Well, and that's the thing. Like, 10 years ago, you probably could.
Right, 100%.
Right. But now, especially with a company like Lone Wolf Custom Gear, where you can definitely, like, they're pretty innovative. I know those guys, and they're hardcore mobile. So anything that they put on the market is going to be light, and it's going to be, like, it's going to be durable and easy to pack around and gets the job done from a mobile standpoint first, right?
100%. Yeah.
There's other lone, like, that's Lone Wolf. But then you have the Summit tree stand, that's when I look at it and I go, nope.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't ever see myself using something because it looks so big. It looks so big. And if I'm going to put something like that in a tree, it's going to be a big hang on,
right?
That I'm gonna take time. I'm gonna go set it up, and then it's gonna be like, I don't know, like, it's gonna be in the tree either all the time or before and after season type of deal.
Right. I mean, one thing, and I might be getting ahead of us here too, but just like, you think about the materials that the stand, if you're like somebody who's looking for like a mobile setup, or you're looking to, maybe you're debating a hang on or a climber and stuff, like, look into what that stand is made out of. Cause I don't know what the Summits are made out of. I know my old one is out of that square aluminum tubing that, I mean, is crazy, crazy loud. And it's just got, you know, like the little like D clips that you use to like set your, it's a freaking cable with D clips to adjust your tension on the thing. And on one hand, the thing weighs like close to 30 pounds. On the other hand, the thing's crazy loud if you're not well versed in it. So just like, be mindful of that. And I don't know. I think regardless of what you buy these days, you need stealth strips, but you know, certain
depending on
materials.
What if you're going to be mobile, yes, maybe, but see, so you say that, but at the same time, like for me, I don't mod out any of my equipment.
No.
If I do mod out anything, I don't put aiders on. I wrap hockey tape around my climbing stick, and that is it.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
I think that's all you need, though, is hockey tape.
Yeah. And so, I don't know. There's that. Now, we now go from, what is it, like the climbers mm-hmm. to hang-ons, okay? But a hang-on doesn't mean mobile.
Chronic migraine is 15 or more headache days a month, each lasting 4 hours or more.
Botox, onabotulinum toxin A, prevents headaches in adults with chronic migraine before they start. It's not for those with 14 or fewer headache days a month. It prevents, on average, 8 to 9 headache days a month versus 6 to 7 for placebo.
Prescription Botox is injected by your doctor. Effects of Botox may spread hours to weeks after injection, causing serious symptoms. Alert your doctor right away, as difficulty swallowing, speaking, breathing, eye problems, or muscle weakness can be signs of a life-threatening condition. Patients with these conditions before injection are at highest risk. Side effects may include allergic reactions, neck and injection site pain, fatigue, and headache. Allergic reactions can include rash, welts, asthma symptoms, and dizziness. Don't receive Botox if there's a skin infection. Tell your doctor your medical history, muscle or nerve conditions, including ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease, myasthenia gravis or Lambert-Eaton syndrome, and medications, including botulinum toxins, as these may increase the risk of serious side effects.
Why wait? Ask your doctor, visit BotoxChronicMigraine.com, or call 1-800-44-BOTOX to learn more.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 50% site-wide on new window treatments at Blinds.com. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered to your door fast and free. With over 25 million windows covered and a 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love.
Shop up to 50% off site-wide plus a free professional measure during the President's Day Mega Sale. Last chance happening right now at Blinds.com. Terms apply.
Because there are a lot of hang-on tree stands out there that do not have the ability to adjust the leveling in the tree stand. So you need a straight tree to be level in that. And so I don't even look at that. And because I'm on the Summit website and I'm looking at one of the Summit stands, and actually I have a Summit stand down in my garage that I took it out of the box to take a look at it, and it just sits there. Because I haven't put it in a rut funnel, because that's all it's going to be good for. It's mm-hmm. probably going to be way more comfortable than my Lone Wolf Assaults or hanging out of a saddle all day long, but because the seat's very comfortable. However, with that said, it's not a mobile piece. It's too big, it's too heavy, and you can't adjust it in it. You can't adjust or level it in a tree. So I look at something like that and I go, that's a permanent stand.
Definitely. Yeah, and those ones too, it's like you can, and I don't want to say that there's, I don't know, I feel like maybe I've drank the Kool-Aid on some of the mobile hunting marketing, I'm not going to lie, so maybe I sound biased towards like station, you know, like the hang-ons or the ladder stands or anything like that, that's, you know, that are made specifically for that, because there are premium options for that as well. You know, you can go with a Millennium or something like that that doesn't have, you know, nothing creaks on it or anything. It's a rock solid stand and, mm-hmm. and all that. Or you can get I think mine was like an old Field and Stream that I bought for like $60 in high school or something. That's a little squeaky, but you know, gets the job done. But right. No, you're absolutely right. Like I don't know, understanding your needs and what you're going to do. Is it a rut funnel kind of thing where I'm going to throw this thing up in July and come back in November? Awesome, I'll probably do that. But if it's something where, I've only got my one stand and I'm gonna run, you know, hunt this early season to late season, need to be able to hop around ridges, then look for something more mobile.
Yeah. Now I will say this. You brought up Millennium, and I can remember going to an ATA show and talking to one of their guys there at the booth, and I said, hey, do you have anything in the plans for having a mobile setup? Right, something for a public land guy, mobile setup, whatever. And they just didn't seem to be interested in it. Now, they also have come out, I don't know when this came out, but they have their run and gun combo kit. It's a hang on combo kit. Have you seen that at all?
Mm-mm. No.
Okay, so it includes the M250, M260, and M7, which I'm assuming are some of their climbing sticks. And it is a device that connects to your tree stand, almost like the Novex, what do they call that, the stick quiver? Have you seen that? The stick quiver? It's almost something like that that connects to the tree stand and allows your sticks to be put on there. It looks like four different sticks, and it's all connected to one thing. You still have to take it off of your back to set it up, but it's all, it looks like it's quiet. You know, I've never laid my hands on it, but it, what's cool about that is it's all connected to the stand. So they're doing things now. But before I get into, like, all these companies are knowing that, hey, if we want to be successful in this market now, we got to get market share for not only our tried and true, like, Millennium big tree stands, very comfortable tree stands. We got to jump into that mobile market as well.
Right.
And so with that said, then, you mentioned Millennium. And I will say this. There will be a time when I buy a couple Millennium big seat, big comfortable. I'm going to look up the one right now. I believe it is the 150 Monster. Okay? Mm-hmm. It is not a run and gun setup. It is not a, you know, it is a straight tree type of stand. And I'm going to buy one. I'm going to put it in a rut funnel. And then you might see me start hunting all day. Because I've sat in a couple of those. And, dude, have you ever sat in a Millennium tree stand?
No, I haven't.
Oh, my God. It's like a lawn chair. It is. It's, they are probably the most comfortable stands on the market from a hang-on perspective. And then they have their M7 Microlite, which is the complete opposite. And I think that is their attempt at the mobile market. However, I'm not sure that yet. Yeah, I'm looking at it right now. I'm pretty sure you need a straight tree for it. I mean, if you try to put it in a crooked tree, you're going to be, you know, you're going to be sitting crooked. And when I sit crooked in a tree, my back hurts, man.
Right. Yeah. No, it's, and I think, not to get ahead of ourselves here, but I think that's where the mobile hunting equipment kind of starts to come in, where the saddles start to come in, where, okay, I've got a funky tree, but I need to be in this spot. That's where that kind of stuff starts to come in. But yeah, dude, I think I completely agree with you. I think it's kind of all of our goals to eventually one day be in that spot where it's like, I'm going to throw some Millenniums out and I'm going to not feel like shit when I leave the woods. For
exactly.
Once. You know, I think I've earned that after a while.
Yeah. Yeah. And so it's always one thing that I am curious about that. I don't know, maybe it's out there, but I haven't seen it. And I dig through a lot of gear throughout the year, is some kind of contraption or device that will allow any tree stand to be leveling. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
You know, what would that be called? Like an industry standard bat wing that can attach to a variety of different stands and then allow you to put your ratchet strap or your tightening strap from the tree around that, and it will allow you to sit level in a tree.
Mm-hmm. So, definitely. 2x4s.
Yep. Yeah. Could be. Could be something. I mean, something like that, man. I mean, but yeah, so we got comfort, right? Let me ask you this. When it comes to selecting a tree stand or a saddle, like, what categories need to be high? Like, mobility is at something. Comfort is at something. Like, weight is at something. Like, where do those rank when you're trying to select a tree stand?
Man, a couple years ago, it was 100% price. Like, price was like a 10 factor. Comfort, everything else was, you know, on the wayside pretty much. Nowadays, I'm a little bit more concerned with mobility, efficiency, and I'll carry something a little bit heavier if it's going to be more comfortable. Or if I know that if I have to sit in a spot all day, I can do it and not feel like crap. Because I've done all day sits in, you know, the gear that I have now, and you can do it, but like I said, you're hurting by the end of it and stuff. And so, I don't know. That's kind of why I switched to the hybrid thing, because you know, I had enough scenarios last season where I was like, you know what, I need to be able to, if I have to tuck into a cedar tree, I would like to be able to, or if I mm-hmm. have to be able to get into this, there's a piece of public I'd hunt that's got, dude, there's got to be thousands of these like little, I don't know, I think they're like pin oaks or something like that, but they just planted yeah. these things, dude, in rows, like just mm-hmm. for, I mean, I don't know how big, how many acres this patch is, but there were scenarios last year where I was like, damn, it'd be really nice to be able to tuck up into one of those trees that's 4 inches thick, but I can't do that with a saddle right now. And so, I don't know, that's kind of, that combined with my knees are killing me right now, it would be awesome to be able to like sit down for half an hour.
Yeah.
That's kind of where I'm at right now, versatility.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, man, I tell you what, and how old are you?
28.
Okay, 28. All right, so I'm 44, I think. No, I'm 43. I'm 43 years old. And every single year, there's a new little creak in my knees or my shoulders. Like, I'm struggling with my shoulders right now, man, like, especially my left shoulder. Whenever I shoot my bow, I'm pretty good at shooting my bow that night, but then the next day, soreness. So I struggle to shoot my bow the next day. I noticed last year when I'm doing all these run and gun setups, setting my climbing stick and then having to pull myself up into the tree, like when I'm stepping on the climbing stick to pull myself up, my shoulders are killing me. And so it's just like, I'm getting to that age or potentially having to have surgery where I'm going to have to someday start to rethink how I approach hunting, because this run and gun lifestyle may not be for me in 5 to 10 more years. So these are things that I'm thinking about. And so now I go and I look at the Millennium tree stands, right? I say, why can't I just get a buddy to go help me put up a tree stand someday, or help put up some climbing sticks in a permanent spot, you know, things like that. Yeah. And then go in there and sit, or a ladder stand on a field edge during muzzleloader season, or, you know, hell, even getting a ladder stand in some pinch point somewhere, and I just sit and wait. You know what I mean? And so I look at those and I go, this is probably in my future. And I'm gonna have to figure it out. And so basically, I almost feel, you know, like when we're talking about categories, the can I do this has to be brought into it. Like, am I capable of hunting out of a saddle, climbing and taking stuff down every single day? Am I in good enough shape to do that? Like, do I have enough? Like, let's say I've talked to guys who are like, dude, I have access to 20 acres of ground. Well, if you have access to only 20 acres, then a saddle or a mobile run and gun setup is probably not the right thing for you.
Right.
If that's the only place that you hunt, maybe a very comfortable ladder stand, or try to find the best possible funnel or pinch on that property and put a permanent hang on type set there with some good climbing sticks. And so a lot of it has to do with what are you capable of, and then what is your budget? That's the way kind of I look at it. And, man, I don't know about you, but there are some stands out there that are extremely expensive, and then there's some stands that I don't know if I could trust.
Yep.
Hey, like, okay, they're $60 at Farm King, like a hang-on that 60. And if I drop it, it bends. So I don't know if I'm going to put myself in that position. So,
right. Well, to add to that too, I mean, thinking about, you know, saddle hunting is a craze right now, right?
Right.
Don't saddle hunt just because everybody's saddle hunting. You know what I mean? Right. Cause I will add to that. If you want to do it comfortably, you need the knee pads, you need the back band. Like, if you're somebody who's in that, you know,
yep.
situation, like, I mean, and then it's like, before you know it, it's like, how many pieces of gear do I actually need to do this right now for something right. that's supposed to be minimalist? You know what I mean? I've got how many right. different straps, you know, that I got to deal with and make sure that I'm not twisted, and it gets out of hand so fast before you're actually, you have to question, is it actually efficient? Is it actually, you know, making my life easier, or would a hang on be easier? Would a ladder stand be that much easier? Do I actually need to be doing this? So yeah. I don't know, assess that. But I will say too, like for folks who are, you know, maybe in that situation of, you know, my shoulders are giving me issues and stuff. If you're able to do it, I think stretching for a more premium option or something like that, like a Lone Wolf, or getting the more expensive saddle, if that's something mm-hmm. you really want to do, I do know that they are more comfortable and they are a little bit easier and more efficient and stuff. Or it could just be, you know, you might have to get better at, if you are hell-bent on being a mobile hunter, figure out situations where you can hunt lower so you don't have to, you know, shoot up 18 feet or however high and run all those climbing sticks. You never know.
My day kicks off with a refreshing Celsius energy drink, then straight to the gym. Pre-K pickup, back home to meal prep. Time for my fire station shift. One more Celsius, gotta keep the lights on. When the 3-alarm hits, I'm ready. Celsius, live, fit, go. Grab a cold, refreshing Celsius at your local retailer or locate now at Celsius.com.
Sierra has all the best active and outdoor brands for the super athletic stuff, like running gear for cruising up the trail.
Woo!
And the super athlete-ish stuff, like fishing gear for chilling by the creek. Nice cast. Fitness apparel to push for higher reps. You got this. And golf balls priced so you can afford to lose one. Or a few. Head to Sierra or Sierra.com for the brands you want at the prices that let you do it all. From athletic to athlete-ish, Sierra's got it.
Yeah, there's a lot of guys out there who are two sticks, one stick off the ground in some thick back cover, and mm-hmm. they're good to go
right
there. Yep. And so I guess, so as far as ladder stands are concerned, I kind of want to take a step back to ladder stands real mm-hmm. quick. And, you know, I look at this as a very feasible option for a gun season. Obviously,
totally.
There's guys out there who are hunting those power line cuts, guys like that, guys who are hunting long distance at potential feeders in certain states during the gun season. And, you know, those are going to be great options. The other thing I think a ladder stand is going to be extremely good for is hunting with kids. And some of these double set options where you can fit two people up there and it has the little rest bar that kind of goes across it. I mean, you name a tree stand company. I think it's called Big River Stands, Gorilla mm-hmm. Stands, Millennium, Summit. Like every company that makes a ladder stand pretty much has a two-seater. And that's going to be something that I'm probably going to be purchasing in the next couple years and putting into a couple of these properties because I want to take my kids hunting, period. And I think the best way to do that is where I can guide them, be right next to them, and they can, you know, they can be there too, right? And I like in the most comfortable setting because I'm trying to envision myself having my daughter climb up a set that I already have and then sit in another tree stand, kind of like a filming, you know mm-hmm. how guys film,
yeah.
where there's another tree stand a little bit higher. And then they have to film out of it. I just don't envision that right now, her having to climb up that. I know there's a whole bunch of different climbing sticks that would make it easier, but I feel like a ladder stand in the right position would be the best, is the best option.
Definitely. Yeah. And plus you can have 6 or 7 different two-person ladder stands for the mm-hmm. the price of one box blind. If that's what you're... what your situation allows for. Let me ask you this. When it comes to ladder stands, what height do you like them at?
Dude, I'll be honest. I haven't sat in one for so long. I mean decades.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't sat in a climbing tree stand to hunt in probably 2004?
No kidding.
It would have been... Yeah, probably 2004, 2005, because in 2006 is when I bought my Lone Wolf tree stand.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't go back to a ladder stand. So it could have been 2006 or something like that. And so that's a long time ago since that I've hunted. And that's when I started doing the run and gun and setting up and tearing down, or leaving a lone wolf in the tree and then coming back to it, you know, that kind of hunting gear. So if I was, I would say somewhere around that 15 to 20 foot mark.
Totally.
And yeah, a lot of it depends though on my back cover, right? Am I, if it's wide open, I'm going higher. If it's thicker, I can stay lower and I don't need to basically stretch my legs out so far to get to the next stick.
Right.
But yeah, I 15, 20 foot, somewhere in that range.
Mm-hmm.
I always try to get my tree stands, I think on my height and how I space putting my legs up to, I'm sitting right at that 18 foot mark on my four sticks and a lone wolf anyway, or getting my four sticks and my saddle platform up, I'm looking at right around 18 feet most times. How about you?
Totally. Yeah. Now I was thinking the same thing, you know, I don't actually even know how old our ladder stand is, because it's probably around that 2006, 2008 mark as well. But I think it was like a 12 footer, maybe a 15 footer, but it's in that, in a range that I think anything sub 15 feet, you run the risk of getting busted. I think it just, it's too boxy. It's too unnatural of a shape to have that low. I think you have to be in that 18-ish, 17 to 18 inch or foot range for sure.
Right, right. Does that change then when you hop into a saddle?
Man, I've been hunting like first cover. So I can do that. So it kind of varies. You know, last year I was carrying three sticks with me, no aiders, and I would cap out at about 15 feet or so. And usually I was able to find cover within that. The thing I will say with the saddle is I would use it to my advantage to use the tree as cover, so I wasn't quite as concerned with getting busted, even if I was in the open. But I always tried to get up to where is there that first fork in the tree, or if I needed to get higher, where is the, you know, where can I blend in the best or have a good back cover or something like that.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Okay. All right. I don't know why this popped into my head. Aiders.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Do you use aiders?
I'm going to this year. I'm going to try two-sticking it. Yep.
Okay. If you're going to try two-sticking it, have you ever set up or tear down in the dark and tried to climb a tree with an aider on? Have you done that yet?
I'm going to try sometime this week once I get those things put on.
Man, maybe I'm an idiot, and maybe I'm that like guy who just can't figure it out, but there's something about an aider that is not stiff, and it's kind of just flimsy there, because the whole point is to add getting height without adding any weight, right? Or adding and trying to basically take it from four sticks to two sticks or three sticks, or reduce it however you're trying to reduce it. Minimalistic approach, right?
Right. But
I used aiders in a couple hunts, not last year, but the year before. And I would come down the tree and it was dark or getting dark, and there was deer close to me, so I didn't necessarily want to turn my headlamp on quite yet. And I was sitting there hanging off the tree trying to find my foothold. And if it's not right, you don't get that footstep, like the middle of your foot on it. You're basically just putting your toe into the loop, pressing down, and now it's on your toe. And I was having, I didn't necessarily feel too comfortable in certain scenarios like that. And so,
were these like Amsteel aiders, or were they were flexible? They weren't like a rigid type of aider.
It was a rope.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, rope.
Gotcha.
Aider.
Yeah.
That's... And so I put it around my bottom. I kind of looped it around my bottom step and where the stick connects to the tree. Like I figure aided it around that, and then I dropped it down, and it just, I don't know, I didn't like it. And so this kind of leads me into the next question, and that is weight, right? Are you an ounce counter at all when you are being mobile?
No, not at all. Not at all. I am of the mindset that regardless of who you are, if we're talking about tree stand hunting, the majority of us are whitetail hunting. I'd say 99% of us are whitetail deer hunting with our mobile setups. 97% of us are headed back to the truck that night. You know what I mean? Yeah. We're not going in there for a backcountry elk hunt where we're going to be, you know,
on our feet all day long.
Yeah, exactly. The ounces count up, and then we have to, you know, make sure that, well, I'm going to carry this around for potentially 9 days or something like that. Like, yeah. The majority of us are hiking a couple hundred yards, maybe a mile or so back in there. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
It'll be lighter coming out if you drink your water. You know what I mean? That's kind of right. how I think of it.
Yeah. I just have never been an ounce counter except going out west. Okay. Mm-hmm. I get that. If you're going to be on your feet all day long, weight is kind of important. But on the deer hunting side, even when I went mobile, I never said to myself, oh my God, this extra 2 pounds is going to be a deal breaker when I'm walking a half a mile in.
Right.
Right. And I know there's a lot of guys who say, dude, I'm going 2 miles deep into this public. There's no place in Iowa that you need to get. Or I'm guessing in a lot of eastern states, maybe in some Appalachia type country where you're sitting on a gigantic piece of timber or mountainside,
right,
where you could go 2 miles back. I get that. But in Iowa, or you're not going 2 miles anywhere. If you're going 2 miles in one direction, then you're hitting a property border at some point within that. Right.
Totally.
And so I look at, and I'm just guessing at this point that there's not a lot of people going extremely deep. Like, I think even if I wanted to make it hard on myself and park on the road on some of these properties, I'm only going a mile, like at the most, maybe 3/4 of a mile, probably not even a full mile. And at that point, I look at it. If I'm setting up and I'm tearing down and I'm wearing all this weight, yeah, it's going to be harder than if I had a saddle. But at the same time, I'm not going to be, I don't know, I'm in decent enough shape where this is not an issue for me. Two extra pounds, even like 5 extra pounds is not an issue for me. And so I don't see it. I don't know if maybe it is a big issue for other people. I know there's a lot of ounce counters out there, but there's also guys that they've been doing it the same way for 20 years, knowing that they probably could do it a different way, but they choose not to because obviously it's not a big enough issue.
Mm-hmm. Totally. Yeah. The guys who, you know, they've run the same setup for how many years, then they can practically put that thing, they can hang a stand with their eyes closed more or less.
Exactly.
You know, they know it that well. And you have this, the other guys too, who, yeah, they're going to ounce count down to the minutia with their gear and what they're carrying in, but then they have like an additional, like, 11 ounces hanging off of their bow that they're lugging in. So it's like, where are we,
exactly,
where are we really prioritizing things here, you know?
Right. And so I also run an Ozonix too. So it would be stupid of me to be like bitching about how much my tree stand weighs, but then bringing in an Ozonix at the same time and the stand it goes on. So now you're looking at all this weight. I'm bringing in a ton of water because I just try to when I'm hunting, I have to be comfortable. If I'm not comfortable, then I'm not thinking about deer hunting. I'm thinking about how uncomfortable I am. So
right
now,
do you bring snacks with you? Are you like a food packer? Yeah.
Yeah. I bring snacks. Let me tell you something though. Snacks, I've learned so I used to be that guy who's like, man, bring in the candy bars, bring in the gummy bears or whatever the case is, and munch on those all day. But I will say this, that I don't do that anymore. I like to hunt hungry because if I eat something big at lunch and then go into the woods for an afternoon hunt, I'm full, I'm just uncomfortable, and then I set up and then I start to get tired.
Yep.
And my eyes start getting tired and I'm starting to, I get more sleep during the hunting season on my trips than I do at home. Like last night, I didn't get to bed until like 11:30, and then woke up at 6 this morning.
Mm-hmm.
When it's hunting season, so I don't hunt anywhere near my house. So wherever I go, I get out of the stand, I eat supper, and I go to sleep. And then I wake up, I get like 8 to 9 hours of sleep during the hunting season. And so everybody's like, oh, you're not grinding hard enough. No, I don't have kids. That's mm-hmm. why, right? I'm choosing to go to bed at like, I don't know, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock at night when I get back and I've had stuff to eat. And then I wake up at four in the morning, you know, five right. in the morning or whatever, however long it takes. But
right. Well, it's like you think about how you're, where you're concentrating your hours in the stand. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Like some of these guys are like, well, I'm losing this much sleep because I'm getting out, you know, September through the end of November or something like that. And I've got to drive, you know, that, but like you said, like you travel to your hunting spot.
Right.
And then you like all those hours that those guys spread out on 4 hour hunts, you're able to concentrate more heavily into just like running total. You're still getting the same amount of hours, probably, mm-hmm. you know, give or take a few in the season. It's just a matter of how you're prioritizing things and how you weight
it. That's a fact. Okay, so finishing up on, you know, you just heard me talk about how I don't really ounce count. I'm not a pound counter. I don't, like, I'm just going kind of what's comfortable. Mm-hmm. But I will say this. When you leave the tree stand in the truck and you're wearing a saddle and you go into the woods with just a saddle and you set up, oh, my God. Yep. It is lighter and it is more awesome straight up. I drug my feet so long on guys telling me, dude, you got to try a saddle. If you like being mobile, you got to try a saddle. And I was under the impression like, dude, I've been running this Lone Wolf and Four Sticks for so many years. Like I'm comfortable with it. I can set it up in 5 minutes. I'm good to go. Right. But that's something about that saddle. And not needing a... So now, number one, I don't need a tree stand. I'm wearing my saddle, so I don't need a safety harness. And I got all this stuff connected. Dude, it's hard to go back to that.
Right.
It's hard to go back to that. But now I also... And I heard you say hybrid method. I've been doing the hybrid method this past year where I don't wear a safety harness at all anymore. Even when I'm in a tree stand, I'm wearing my saddle. So I can stand up, I can sit down, I can hang off the tree, especially in the rut funnels that are really good. Outside of that, man, I am when it's platform time and I'm hanging, like there's, it's so easy. It is so easy to set up. It's so easy mm-hmm. to tear down. If I think it's a good spot, I will leave a set of sticks there and I will take my stand with me, my platform with me. My saddle's already on, so that's not a piece of equipment I have to tie to the tree. So it's just boop, 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 and we're good to go.
Right, right, 100%. So, yeah, I ended up doing the same thing, especially on private land. If you're able to do that, saddle hunting is, you know, if you can run, I had a couple, like, trees that I just preset with screw-in sticks mm-hmm. out on the, you know, on the family farm and everything and did that. And it's like, all I need is my little backpack, my saddle, my bow, and I just carry the... I don't even know what the platform weighs, like 4 pounds or something like that. Just carry all that in with me, strap it on there, and I'm good to go. It is.
Yep.
There's something to be said to that for sure.
Yeah. I'm really looking forward to this early season. I think I'm going to try to get out for some kind of early season hunt. I have a set of sticks and a platform that I left in the woods. And it's mm-hmm. in a area that it feels really tight. So being in a saddle... I just feels right for some reason. And I had 2 3-year-olds come by the first hunt of the season last year that were decent bucks, but just not what I kind of was looking for. And they were both within shooting range. And so I kept it there. I'm looking forward to getting back to that this early season before the crops come out. I don't know. My gut tells me something might happen. And so I'm really looking forward to put the saddle on and the platform and, doing that. What kind of saddle do you run?
I have an old, it was used from a buddy, but it was like one of the older tethered mantis saddles.
Okay.
So, I mean, there's probably folks listening rolling their eyes and like, well, that's why your setup's uncomfortable or whatever, because it's got a fixed bridge. I was using the Hawk Helium 20-inch sticks as well, which again, people are probably like, that's why you're not comfortable with it and stuff. But
yeah,
I don't know. This season I've got the X2s, from XOP, the retrograde platform, and I got their Invader platform as well. So I can either run out of the saddle or I can run kind of hybrid depending on what the situation allows. But I don't know. Let me ask you this, just because you brought up early season hunting too. Have you shot many bucks in the early season?
No.
Is there a part of you that gets like, does it enter your mind this feeling of like, I could shoot that buck, but like it's so early in the season and like I'd miss out on the magic of late season? Or do you go into the season with like a target buck in mind, or you have like a couple that are on the hit list, and if that one were to come out on October 1st, money, let's let it rip.
I mean I'm a basket buck shooter, and what I mean by that is there's a list of bucks that I put in a basket, and unless it's like some bonus buck that cruises through the property, I'll shoot him. But majority of the deer that I hunt, man, they just do not show any interest in being daylight until that late October time frame. So me going in and wasting time trying to hunt them early season, it's, you know, I on this podcast, on the Nine Finger Chronicles podcast, I talk like I jokingly complain about how busy my life is, right? Since I've had kids and have been married and it's busy and I can't hunt as much, and you'll hear me bitch about it. But in all seriousness, it's a blessing in disguise, because I am saving all of my time for the best time of the year, which is that pre-rut time frame. And so I have just gathered enough data on the properties that I've hunt that lead me to believe that unless there is a deer who's daylighting regularly, or I just so happen to be checking trail cameras, I pull the card and he's ready to go, like maybe he's getting real close to daylight and there is a cold front coming, then I might do that and hop in the woods and try to chase him. But statistically, that's not happening for me. It's just, it hasn't been a thing. Now, I ate my words last year when a target buck has made his way and cold front came through, and typically cold fronts don't mean anything for mid-October anyway. For me, they don't really get the deer up on their feet like everybody says that it does. One did show up on in daylight, but it was in a bedding area where I had a trail camera, so it's not like he was killable. It wasn't like he was in the middle of a field eating, or he was going through a staging area. He was in a bedding area, and he didn't, like, he wasn't there. So
right,
he wasn't really killable, but he was on his feet, so I don't know what that means. So the answer to your question is no, I don't put a lot of focus on early season. Usually that's when I'm taking my out-of-state hunt.
Gotcha. Yeah, dude, it's tough too. Like, if you don't have the food source in the early season, you're better off holding off until, like, do you guys have any, I mean, it's Iowa, so there's obviously ag, you know, in the area and stuff, but do you guys have any, like, an alternative food source? Like, do you guys have any apple trees on your farm or anything goofy like that? No?
No, there's a couple fruit trees, but they're back at the old abandoned farm.
Sure.
But it's so wide open to even get to that, and it's right next to a road. I don't see them using it.
Right.
Much so.
Right. No, yeah. Makes sense. Dude, I found a patch of public this year that on the map it looks like CRP. Half of this CRP field is just a giant sunflower patch on public.
Really? Did they plant it?
Yeah, they planted it. I don't know what or who did that, but it was full of bucks when I was out there like two-ish weeks ago, I think. Like, actually, I bumped one accidentally, so.
And then, so what are we doing? What's the gear strategy going into that early season while, you know, you got, what, like 20 days or so until
20, I need to get 20, back 25. Out there and check that out, because something bumped them that wasn't me, because I was still up above them. The thermals hadn't started dropping yet.
Yeah,
I was stumbling across all their craters 50 yards away from these sunflowers that were in the CRP where they were bedded just off the food source and stuff. And then I was kind of creeping down an edge, and I was going to try and get below them and just sort of skirt the outside and get below them so that when it did get dark, I'd hopefully have a chance of at least getting eyes on something or be able to look up into that field. And something came up into the field, and all of a sudden two turkeys shot up into a tree. And then one of them, I don't know if they saw me because I was pretty wide out in the open, but one of the hens started putting a bunch. And then all of a sudden I just see Velvet walking towards me. I had a pretty sweet encounter. He's at like 27 yards, and he didn't quite see me, but I think he caught a whiff of my thermocell that I had on me, and then slowly kind of worked his way back off. But I don't know, I got to get back in there. It looked pretty thick around that edge, and especially early season, which is, I don't think they're going to be hitting sunflower seeds in October. I don't think those sunflowers are going to be around by then still. Yeah. So it'll probably be an early season play. I think I'm probably going to try and go hybrid out of that, just because that whole edge looked really, really thick, and I don't know that I'm going to be able to get a saddle and also have a good shooting lane to be able to get, I don't know, like, you know, sunflower seeds, they're shoulder high, right? So it's like their vitals are going to be completely blocked, and so it's going to be a matter of just figuring out where they're entering and exiting. And
yeah, and hell, they could be budging, so they could be betting right on that edge.
Right, exactly. Like, if they're in the CRP, I'm screwed.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You know, you're setting up, and then all of a sudden it comes, you know, prime time, and one stands up right in the middle of the CRP. Dude, I've had that happen so many times on a specific property years ago that I lost, where I get in there, I'm like, my wind's good, I'm set, like, and my wind is good, but they had bedded past me, so I had walked by them, and they didn't move. They didn't get spooked. They couldn't hear me, but I get up in the tree, I set up, and I'm looking around the CRP, and they're already past me. They stand up. They're in, like, they're butted up next to some kind of bush or some pine tree that's growing in the cedar that's growing in the CRP or something like that. So it happens, man.
Dude, that bedding, too, is like, there's nothing you can do when they do that. Yeah. There's absolutely nothing you can do, because it's tough to find that bed in general, but also once they're out there, like you said, they're past you.
Yep. Well, we talked a lot about tree stands today, man. I don't know if we really covered anything per se, but there are options for everybody.
100%.
You can go as light as possible, and you can go carbon fiber. You can be cost effective and maybe go heavy, but usually in this industry or this part of the industry, like, if you want to go ultra light, you're probably going to be paying a little bit more. If you want comfort or mobility, if you want to go to the extreme on anything, for example, Millennium tree stands, you're going to be in the most comfortable tree stand that's probably on the market, but it's not going to be mobile, right? So you have to find what it is that you're willing to sacrifice and what it is that you're not willing to sacrifice for a tree stand, right? Do I want to be ultra mobile, or do I want to have a permanent set? Do I want to spend a ton of money, or do I want to do this? And usually when you go extreme into one, you're going to be spending more money anyway. Right. So there's always that, just like anything in life, there's find that balance, find what's comfortable for you. Don't be influenced by guys like us telling you what you should and should not do, because you have to feel confident in your own equipment. And that's the message that I've been trying to say now for how many years on the Hunting Gear podcast. So Pierce, man. Good luck with all your gear. Good luck with the season opener. Good luck with that sunflower patch. It sounds like you got some activity there. And good luck the entire season, man.
Yeah, awesome, man. I appreciate it. You too.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
If you're a podcast host, listen up. This one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial. If you're a podcast host, listen up. This one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.